Sports.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzle, I got chilling for shit.
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network, also our new friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com and WRWWrestling.net. The Spud Guy will be joining us as soon as he gets in from his busy day. Kevin Scott may stop by, depending on his situation, if he's got a lady friend over tonight. Your numbers are 267-297-1397. And as always, if you are part of Skype, you can add Sir Rockin', and he will get you on the calls tonight. Second hour is as normal. It will be some TNA news as we head to Destination X. And the CM Punk saga continues all the way on the other side of the world, where Mace is normally visiting us, but he's on assignment for his educational purposes. So we thank you all for tuning in tonight, and we're going to start off once again with another amazing interview subject. He is a fellow New Yorker. As they say when he's introduced at ROH, from Bed-Stuy, Do or Die. He is not only a member of the ROH roster, but he did something on that Sunday where he wrestled Rhino. Not only did he appear during a 4 o'clock pay-per-view, he was on a pay-per-view later on in the evening for the brand new Urban Wrestling Federation. My fellow New York Yankee fan, the notorious 187 Homicide, is joining us. Thanks for stopping by tonight. How you doing?
What's up, Alan? Thank you for having me again on your radio station.
All right. Got to jump right into this, because when I asked, I told you, I got the pay-per-view from the ROH, and he said, yeah, how'd my injury look? And I'm like, injury? What injury? And he said, you got to watch when I go into the guardrail and tell me what you think. So I took your advice and explain to the fans what happened to you, because it looks like from that point on, the rest of the match, you're in obvious pain. So explain to everybody what happened and your current health status. Because I know every time I talk to you, you're injured. So what happened to you against Rhino?
Well, basically, it was just a rush of hype. I was so hyped because I was one of the few men in the wrestling business in the history since Rapture Glued who appear on television on Monday Night Raw and Monday Night Nitro. And I got guys coming to me saying, do you know you're the first person being on pay-per-view twice in one day? And that actually made me kind of like a kid. You know, I was kind of happy about, because a lot of people of the media, magazines, they don't coverage of myself having the best feud with Teddy Hart. And that feud should have been on a category like, you know, Cena, Edge, maybe Hogan, you know, Ultimate Warrior. But nobody's talking about, not even me and Steve Corino, not even me and Teddy Hart. So basically, I just put it out there that I'm the first person on pay-per-view that I know of since Rick Rude that I was on you know, pay-per-view for Ring of Honor at UWF, and when I wrestle Rhino, and I think Rhino is one of the best guys in the wrestling business. I'm very passionate with the wrestling business, and I told the bookers and promoters I'm going out there in my hometown, in the Homestyle Ballroom. Could be maybe my last match of Ring of Honor for the year. I'm going out there and tear the house down, and so I was so hyped up. Me and Rhino went at it. And the guy, he's a big guy, and I'm a small guy. And the guy threw me to the guardrail, and I don't know if you've seen it. Hopefully he did. And I, instead of landing on my back, I landed on my side. And Ring of Honor guardrails are metal sheet. A lot of people say metal sheet doesn't hurt. Well, it does hurt. And when he threw me, I felt like a pinch in my side. I didn't know what it was. When I went back in there in the ring, all I know, the Rhinos haven't controlled the match. He could really press me through a ladder. And I'm saying to myself, yep, I'm hurt again. And it's part of the business, you know. Right now, they're saying I got a very badly bad bruise. I thought it was crack. It was just one rib. And basically, I'm taking it easy because last year I got hurt from a TNA house show. I returned to Ring of Honor September 11th. I'll be honest, I didn't like my return because I was hurt, and I got healed of the month in May, and I got hurt again. So now I'm just taking a little bit of time off, you know, going out there and see the real life, instead wrestling every week, traveling all over the world. I just want to see the real life, how it looks, but it's been 17 years that I didn't go out there and see the real world. I always wrestle every week. I always travel in the plane. My mother always tells me, you live in the plane. You don't live in Brooklyn, New York, or Philadelphia, or Tampa. You live in the plane. And it feels like it because every day I'm always traveling. And I'm one of those guys that, yes, I'm very hard-headed, and my grandmother always tells me, you better relax. Because look at all these wrestlers. They get hurt. They took time off. You're the only person who will take time off. And I'm not the kind of guy that takes special medication like pills or codeine or whatever you want to call it. That's not my thing. So I'm all naturally, except for 420, of course. Let's be real.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, especially California or British Columbia from Vancouver. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm a punk when it comes to, like, pills. Even Advils or Aleve, I'm a punk when it comes to pills. So, you know, I took it naturally. I took it like, I hope I'm like Wolverine, like Logan. Like, his power is just healing progress. And sometimes I heal quick, but I'm getting older. Now I'm healing slowly. But as right now, I'm just helping a lot of guys out there, especially the young wrestlers who are trying to make some money, who are trying to be stars. And I'm just doing a lot of behind the scenes. And I'm still wrestling. I didn't end my career with Ring of Honor. Right now, I got a little situation with contract dispute, also with UWF, a new promotion called Urban Wrestling Federation. And I'm dealing with them right now. So as right now, I'm like a part-timer for the first time in years. And, you know, I just want to heal up and come against my real return and just bust people's asses and let's see what happens to my future when it comes to Homicide.
Yeah, we had Jay Lethal. Oh, there's the Spud guy. What's going on, man?
I am here. I'm sorry. I'm at a barbecue. My uncle is home on leave from Iraq. So.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Hopefully he enjoys his leave.
Oh, we're having a good time. But I looked at the time. I'm like it's time to get caught up in a 187. So I better call in.
This is, yeah. He's enjoying last night because his Cleveland Indians had some fun with our Yankees. So he's
they did.
Last.
Yeah. Hey, you know, by the way, I just got to say, do you know who holds the major league record for the highest score in a ball game?
The highest ball game. And a single season or the whole season?
No, the highest score in a single ball game.
I'm going to say you guys.
Yeah, I think, That's a tough one. At the team or the player?
No, just a team. The single highest scoring game. You know who has that?
As right now, I'm thinking the Yankees, but I'm being very stubborn because that's my team. But
exactly.
I'm guessing it's the Indians, you know.
Well, the Yankees are involved, but it's on the other end. It was 22-9 or something like that. The Indians kicked the crap out of the Yankees the first year the new Yankee Stadium was open.
You know, you're right. I remember that because I was like trying to bash somebody in, especially Boston Red Sox fans, and I'm trying to destroy them. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But right now, the Yankees are winning 6-9 at the 6. So, I mean,
hey, that's fine.
I got a question for you because this has been bothering me so much for the whole week. And I did like a little poll or something. And my question is it true that the Cleveland Indians are the most hated team in the world? I do know that they are the most hardcore fans in Cleveland. I do know that. But they are the hated team and sports franchise.
They're more hated
they are
than
hate.
Us? Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. See, that bothers me because everywhere I go and I travel, even Japan, I get booed because I always wear a Yankee hat. But sometimes I go to a turf or a county or a hood, and they always wear Yankee stuff, or they always say Yankee suck and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But that always bothered me. I'm very surprised that the Cleveland Indians are the most hated team in franchise history. I thought it was the Yankees. The Yankees are number 5. I still don't believe that.
With 27 world championships and the amount of Hall of Famers that the Yankees have, and you know, my favorite player ever was a Yankee, and I despise the Yankees. I do. I really do.
Yeah.
And it's all because of George Steinbrenner, because he should have bought the Indians and he didn't.
And that's funny that you say that because I'm like that with Manny Ramirez. He's one of my top 5 favorite players, even when he was in Boston Red Sox. But every time he comes to Yankee Stadium, I get his friends for watching the hype to throw some frozen eggs at him. It didn't work. You know, maybe Julius smokes because he got arrested one time for doing that. But, you know, I understand what you're saying because Manny Ramirez is one of my favorite players.
Wait, who got arrested? Smokes?
Manny Ramirez. Oh, Julius Smokes. Very, very long time ago. I think it was 2003, 2004. Manny went to Yankee Stadium. He was throwing frozen eggs at Manny when he was playing left field. And he got caught. He got arrested for it.
I mean,
nice.
But that's the one thing I never got. He's from our neighborhoods. He's from Washington Heights. And that was always fun to see him because the Cleveland Indians would all bus in and then you'd see this car pull into the old Yankee Stadium lot. And I'm like,
and there's Manny
driving that. And then here comes Manny. I guess he went to see his mom or grandma or whatever. Being that you've had some real fun going to Boston with ROH and other promotions, have you seen the MLB fan cave commercial with Big Poppy going around the city trying to get hugs and stuff?
Oh, yes, I did. If he come up to me, I'd hear my ankle lock.
So you wouldn't be hugging Big Poppy. You'd be trying to hurt
him? I'll be hanging out with Big Poppy. I'm a fan of Big Poppy, but I'm not too much of a fan because we're who he's down with. Like, we are the evil empire, and he's like, I don't know, one of those people from the Star Wars babyface team or whatever you want to call it. If he comes to me and hugs me, I'm going to make believe I'm Hillbilly Jimmy Gill. I wrap him up his fat ass into a bear hug. But he's bigger than me. So maybe I'll punch him with his balls and run. I don't know. Because he cannot run. Even though he's so vicious. But that's what the story is.
You know, if somebody who seriously, in 2004, when Boston went on that run in the ALCS.
Never happened.
I was rooting for Boston, but it was some of the most amazing baseball I'd ever seen. I watched every game of that series.
It was, you know, even though I was so depressed, I was in a suicidal watch, but it was
happened,
really good,
man.
You know. And the thing is that it drove me crazy that the Boston Red Sox, that was their World Series. They beat the Yankees at our home. They don't care they went to the World Series. I think they beat St. Louis Cardinals. They don't care about that. They beat a team that we always beat 86 years in that stupid curse, whatever you want to call it, has been reversed or has been this, has been that. It doesn't matter. I think I still hate the Red Sox to this day. You know,
Have you been to the new Yankee Stadium yet?
Yes, I did. It's very beautiful.
What do you think?
It's a lot of money. It's very beautiful. It's bigger than the old one. I know they got the Hard Rock Cafe bar. I think that's his best spot. If you want to get your drink on or you want to meet some ladies, you go to the Hard Rock Cafe and meet the Yankee Stadium. I think it's beautiful. I think it's better than the old Yankee Stadium, but I prefer the old Yankee Stadium because I like that culture and history of the, because look at Wrigley Field from the Cubs to Fenway Park. I went to Fenway Park one time, and I got to say, that must be the oldest stadium in baseball. But it's safe that the Cubs are. Then I went to L.A., the Dodgers. That's the third oldest stadium, too. It looks brand new. But I like the new Yankee Stadium, but I prefer the old one because I like that culture and history. Right now, it just feels funny. They made literally baseball fields, and it's kind of funny because I stepped on first base. I'm saying to myself, this is the home run base that Babe Ruth hit a home run. And so it's kind of cool, but I prefer the new, the old Yankee Stadium.
Have you been over to Citi Field yet, or are you never going to go near because it's the Mets?
Well, I don't despise the Mets, but I think, I don't like that stadium. It's not a home run stadium. It's a pitching stadium. I've been there one time. It's beautiful, but, the Mets is, whatever.
You know, I want to bring it back to wrestling real quick.
Oh, we got plenty of time. Go ahead.
Are we up against it?
No, we're way. He's got loads of time. He's here till the top of the hour.
Oh, is he? Okay, cool. Because I missed the last couple of homicide interviews. I wanted to be. I'm like, I gotta be here for this one. But from one part timer to another, because honestly, when I first started wrestling, I was like, you know, one of these days I'm gonna be standing there in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania, and then once you go through school and you get to your first indie paycheck and it's $20 and the promoter's going, I'll see you next month, kid. You're like, yeah, probably not. I do it now more as a hobby. I've got a really good career. I've got a family. But I still enjoy getting in the ring and making fans cheer or boo at me or hate, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. As you're trying to build your career and get to the top tier and get to wherever it is you want to be in professional wrestling, how do you keep that perseverance going through crappy promoters and crappy venues and, you know, maybe subpar competition? How do you keep going?
You just got to have a big heart and be patient. And if it's something that what you want in life, you can get it. And baseball, I wanted to become a Major League Baseball player out of scholarship from Miami. And I was dealing with the wrong crowd, making like $10,000 a week. So in my opinion, it was like, you know, school education, money is, you know, first. And I was wrong. Then after that, I have passion for wrestling since I was 5, and I had so many people, including my parents, like laughing at me. Oh, you're too small. Oh, you this. Oh, you that. You're never going to make it. And I took that motivation. It took me like maybe 15 years. Right now I've been doing it for 17 years, but it took me a lot of years busting my butt, dealing with these crappy promoters, you know, just be patient, and I finally made it. You know, sometimes they say you got to have a hookup. You got to have friends who's been part of business. Like, I'm talking about friends like Ric Flair. My good friend was Manny Fernandez and Conan. But it wasn't I'm kissing their ass and boom, I made it. No, it was hard work. And I was kind of lucky that I met these people. Manny Fernandez is my teacher. And he hooked me up. He told me the right way because in the beginning I was training by myself. And I have my students, and I met many, and he told me the psychology, the storytelling, everything that it should be in part of the wrestling industry. And after that, I met Conan, and it was history right there. And I'm still like, you know, I'm still doing my thing. A lot of people think I quit. I didn't. I'm just taking time off just to heal my wounds. And after that, when I come back to the ring, I'm going to do the same thing that I did for a couple of years and just bust people asses. That's all.
We got a chat.
I got one more, Alan.
Okay, Bob, go ahead, and then I'll ask our chat room. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm not at my computer. I'm not on Skype. I can't type to you.
You're cool, man.
This is a personal sticking point for me. Because of the promotion. My first introduction to Homicide was at CZW.
Mm-hmm.
In Cage of Death 4 or 5.
The one with a lot of blood and pain. If you remember that,
I think all their shows is a lot of blood and pain.
A little vague.
But it was, I think it was Cage of Death 5, and you were. I'm trying to remember who you wrestled. I don't know if it was Trent. It was an amazing match. It was a really good match because I think it was like a loser leaves town match or something.
Okay.
But watching you wrestle, and it's not about the match, but when you wrestled for CZW and you saw the ultra violence, the ultra hardcore stuff, you know, was that something that irked you? Was it something you're like, I didn't get in the business for this? Or was it just part of the process?
I think it's part of the process, but my main thing also, too, because in my beginning of my career, I was a small guy. So basically, when I wrestle big guys, I got to hit them hard. That's why me and Samoa Joe matches were classics, because we were serious for real. So I was a little guy. Like, I was like Kevin Sullivan. The guy's small, but he is no joke, you know, and
He'll be with us next week. We've got him coming on to talk about Cards Subject to Change, the documentary he was a part
of. Awesome. So, yeah, basically, you know, like, in the beginning, I did the hardcore stuff because I want to make my name, you know, be out there. And it worked it, but the problem was I was getting badly hurted, and I was getting labeled. I don't want to be a hardcore wrestler all my life. I want to be a wrestler, you know. So what I did is I took every style that you can name of. I'm talking about Lucha Libre, Technical, and I did it all. And I put in one ball, and I went out there. But a lot of people love to book me as a brawler. My idols is Terry Funk. So basically, I'm like Terry Funk, but the Hispanic kind of way. But I went out there, and basically people just booked me doing brawling. It just depends on these bookers. They tell me, hey, you can do a fire match? Hell no, I won't do that. I'll let them know for real. It's not my taste. It's not my cup of tea. I got respect for people like Necro Butcher, you know, guys like Too Tough, Tony Cobra Robinson. But that's a level that I cannot do. I'm old school. I like the Texas Death Match, the Terry Funk industrial style. These guys from Big Japan Pro Wrestling, Necro Butcher, you know, Toby Klein. I respect those guys, man, because they go bonkers, and I can't do that. I got a strong temper. If somebody hits me with a bottle or glass, I'm going to shoot them. So I just can't do it. But I give a lot of respect for those guys, man, on real talk, like Messiah from New Orleans. Man, he just won the tournament of death, man, and he's a tough son of a bitch. And I give respect for those guys, but I can't do it, man. I really can't.
Yeah, we take questions online and we take them on our phone lines. Jersey Girl in our chat room wants to ask you about, remember you in Ring of Honor in a feud with, OWW Radio's least favorite guest, Colt Cabana. Whose idea was it to pour Drano down his throat? And what, Drano?
Yeah. If you look at very well, man, the tape, Colt Cabana threw up. A lot of people say he put his finger. I don't care if you put your finger, that still hurts when you throw up. But, you know, answering your question, it was Julius Smokes who told me one day, we were just, you know, in Spanish Harlem, he came up to me and he was telling me that we need to make this feud with Colt Cabana because a lot of people consider Colt Cabana as a comic technical wrestler. And Colt Cabana can do everything, man. I'm a good friend with Colt Cabana. He can make you laugh. If you want to go technical, he will stretch you out. And a big test that day, me and him with the feud, it was all brawling. And we took a little bit personal because he saved my kid. Then I said something back to him. And I really wanted to kill him. So Julius Smoke told me, put some Drano in his throat. And that's what I did. And he looked at the tape. He really threw up. He really did. I think he ate some bad peanut butter or sandwich because I see the sandwich coming out when he vomited. It was disgusting. But we good friends now. We didn't like each other back then, but we good friends now. So, and thank God that he didn't call his lawyers on me because couple of things that I did, I deserve to get locked up. And jail's not cool. So I got to thank Colt Cabana for not letting me go to jail when I did to him.
That almost sounds like your love-hate relationship with Carino. When you guys were in a locker room, like you were just in this at the ROH event, is it you're in one side of the building and Carino's over on the other side, or what's the current status of you guys?
It was more like, you know, me and Julius Smokes, we also need to travel a lot. We bring our cars and basically change our gear, whatever you want to call it, outside, while Carino's inside, because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, want no problems. If you want problems, then we build it in the ring, and that's what we did. So basically, I just went outside, changed. He was inside. But, you know, as right now, we still don't like each other. I mean, it's not like I hate him. It's kind of funny to say this, but I'm also good friends with his son. You know, we talk about baseball, we talk about video games, and I think he's going to be the future of this business. And he hates it. He hates it that I'm friends with his son. And I think that's the most funniest thing ever. So we kind of like spoke and ended our feud, you know, because we went out there and we didn't call nothing. We just went out there and tried to kill ourselves. And we just know that we got kids, we got to chill out. And that's what we did. So basically, as right now, we don't talk like, you know, me and you. We just like, not even hi and bye. You know, it's just like, hey, that's it. You know, and me and his son, Kobe, we talk about video games and baseball. And he hates it. And I think that's the most funniest thing ever. And I always loved it. I talked to his sister, and I always rubbed Carino about that. That's why your kid likes me. You never know. We could do it like a kind of storyline with Raven, Tommy Dreamer. No, excuse me, Sandman.
Sandman.
And Sandman's kids. So you never know. But, you know, I got to look out for my future. You got to look out for the show. We got two different futures coming to the wrestling business. And we're going to keep it like that. You know, right now I'm just focusing on some other things. And he's focusing some other stuff on his world. But it's just kind of funny that we don't talk. We really don't.
When you first heard about this acquisition of ROH by the Sinclair Media Group, was it something that you thought, oh, God, this is the end of an era in ROH? Or did you think, like a lot of folks, when we had Kenny King on, he had said, well, this is the evolution. We have to take this next step. Do you feel that way, or do you feel it's the end of an era?
No, I never felt it was the end of the era. I never felt the reason why they sold the company, because it was the end of the era. It basically is getting better. You know, it was good in the beginning. Then it was more than good in the second term. Now that Sinclair got the company, it's even better. And these guys, the new owners, they don't come to us and tell us what things got to change. It's the same exactly the way it is, but it's a different ownership. And, yes, Kenny Keeney's right, too. It's a new era. It's going to be better. And I think that a lot of these promotions out there better take notice, because this little company who was based in Philadelphia, who got no TV, is going to take over. Just like ECW back in the 90s. Look at what happened to them. When I was living in New York, their channels were MSG. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And it became very popular because something different from the crowd, what they're seeing. And that's what Ring of Honor got. It got this new, not only a new ownership, but it's wrestling. It's not really entertainment like the WWE. Every organization should have a different style. It's almost like a music label. You know, every label is different. Ring of Honor is different. It's wrestling. TNA is different. WWE is different. Hey, even the UWF. It's way different. A lot of people badmouth about UWF because everybody is looking at a traditional wrestling organization, but it's not. It's so different. If you go to a movie and spend like $10, well, not me, I'd spend $5 for a discount, but it's not like if you go to a movie and if you want to watch Boys in the Hood, and you this preppy kid from Princeton, and you love it, It's just like a movie. It's just like Boys in the Hood. You go out there, you watch Boys in the Hood, King of New York, or Scarface. You're going to love it. It's the same thing as the wrestling organization of UWF. You go, you see it. There's rappers perform. You also got your wrestlers that is involved in the independent business all over the United States. And also you got your models. It's very different. And a lot of people don't see that because a lot of people got that traditional mind, that mindset that everything is the same. And it's really not. Everything is different. Hey, when you watch WWE, it's so different. This CM Punk thing, that way he did, that was a wake-up call. You know, everybody says it's shoot, it's a work. I don't care. It was real to me. It could be a work. I don't care. The guy did something that all of us, what we want to do to say to our bosses. And, of course, we, especially me, I mean, I do, but I keep my mouth shut because I know how my mouth is. But the first person was Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's the type of guy who gives the middle finger to your boss. Screw you. You know, you try to, you know, screw me over. And Austin says, screw you. CM Punk, he's on that new level right now. And Natalie, you saw me and Punk. We travel all over, flows up for FIP, Ring of Honor. You know, and Punk is Punk. He didn't change at all. He was my babysitter. Yes, my babysitter. When I used to be an addict on strip clubs, you know, he used to drink some Pepsi or some cranberry juice. This man is really a spread itch. He doesn't smoke or whatever. A lot of people say that's BS. I don't care. It doesn't matter. What I know of, he's really straight edge. You know, he's really a ball buster. But hey, man, like, you gotta have balls to do that, and that's what he did.
Yeah, were you surprised at the backlash that the internet community had towards the UWF? I haven't seen it yet. I'm in line to get a copy of it. But were you surprised that a lot of the internet, interwebs, the smarks, whatever you want to call them, that they backlashed and said, oh, this is horrible, this is that? I'm not going to judge it because I haven't seen it. All I know is you and Eddie Kingston tore the house down from what I saw online. What are your thoughts on this?
It wasn't, no, I wasn't surprised at all. Like, I told, like, the owners, the brokers, the promoters that just be ready because you're going to have a lot of haters. You're going to have a lot of negative comments coming through to this. And they was prepared, and they knew about it. But like I was saying, UWF is so different. You know, like, the wrestling, like, me and Keystone, if you like Japanese wrestling, that's what we perform. We perform almost like the 80s version of All Japan Pro Wrestling. It was, you know, stiff. He backdriving me to my nose. I feel like Masawa, like, backdriving me, but, you know, there's Keystone. But a lot of people, they got that traditional wrestling, you know, and UWF is so different. I want to know what's horrible about the UWF. Like, I didn't see the pay-per-view myself either, but I got a lot of good feedback because it was so different. But, yeah, a lot of people just, you know, talking bad, negative stuff about this promotion. And the thing is, I like to know what's bad about this promotion. It's the wrestling, because what I saw is the same thing that you see on TV. It's the same thing that you see on the independent circuit when it comes to your town. Just because a guy pull out a gun and start, you know, bucking shots in the sky. Well, it's different. It's really different, you know? Like, a lot of people need to chill out. Come and just watch the product. If you think it's going to fail, keep that to yourself. If you think it's going to pass, keep that to yourself. Just give a chance. You give a lot of these promotion chances. A lot of people say, oh, WWE is so horrible. Oh, TNA is so horrible, but they still watch it. So these are the same people, a bunch of hypocrites, that watch this promotion. Even writers. I'm not talking about you, Alan. I'm talking about these smart marks writers. These writers that are, like, you know, stupid. And they're the ones who bash the organization. But like I say, they watch these other organizations and they say, oh my God, I might commit suicide because it's so horrible. It's saying some stupid stuff. But you know what? Next week, they still check it out. They still watch it. You know, and just, you know, people need to relax and shut your mouth and just watch it. Get entertained, whatever you want to do. If it sucks, it sucks. But stop going online and saying these things. And next week, you put ratings on the product, you know, so I never get that with people. It's almost like TNA. Everybody said TNA is the most horrible wrestling thing in the universe, but they still watch it.
I have to watch it for the show. So, when you were first contracted by the UWF for this event, I know when I got a release for it, I'm sitting there and I'm going, and I'm old school hip hop, born New York. And as soon as I saw names like Melly Mel, I'm sitting there going, Homicide's got to be sitting there going, where's my records? I need to get some autographs. Were you marking out when you saw some of these hip hop legends walking into the locker room?
Oh yeah, man. Definitely, especially Melly Mel. Like, I think I'm the first, basically, pro wrestler that did something with these rappers, because a lot of these wrestlers, they got that kind of respect. But Melly Mel is a respectful, a legend. This is a man who's in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer in the Rock and Roll. Just like Elvis, just like the goddamn Beatles. Melly Mel is, you know, and it's, to me, that's special. To me, I'm off the hell out, you know, because I did grow up hearing the hip-hop industry, especially Melly Mel, Grandmaster Flash. So when I heard Melly Mel coming to UWF, I said to myself, I need to do something with this guy. Then I heard that Eddie Kingston could be down with Melly Mel. Damn, I did the Hulk Hogan card. Like, I'm wrestling who I want to wrestle with. I want Melly Mel. And that's what happened. I took Melly Mel, and you watch it for yourself. I did something in the match with Melly Mel. It wasn't no physical, but it was one of those that, man, that's so cool. Homicide just, you know, did the suck it, the DS suck it to Melly Mel. He's talking crap to Melly Mel. He even talked crap about me, like he's telling Eddie Kingston on a promo, like, you lost to a goddamn midget? Are you kidding me? And a lot of people came up to me, man, you must be pissed. You called you a midget. No, it's an honor. What the hell are you talking about? Like, first of all, if you talk crap about me, I'm doing something right. And, like, I tell all my students, yeah, these friends are calling me homicide, but I'm doing something right that these people are doing. So I'm happy with that, you know. But Melly Mel calling me a goddamn midget, man, it's an honor. Just, it stalked me or something. But this man, I respect this man. He's mad cool, and he's smart. He's a big wrestling fan, so he's very smart.
I want to go back to our chat room for a second here at wildtalkradio.com. Jersey Girl says, I was very excited when you went to TNA in 2004 and 5, but then noticed that you were more laid back than you were in Ring of Honor. Did you feel more at home in ROH as opposed to your time in TNA with the LAX?
Yes, I did. I really felt that, yes, I returned home. Television wrestling, like the WWE and TNA, you kind of change your whole image, your character, or sometimes you just got to just chill out and lay back, and that happened to me. I went to TNA, and I couldn't do stuff that I couldn't do in the Indies. Perfect example, they changed the name to the Cop Killer. The name is very aggressive. I put that name as my finisher because it was an inside joke, and it became very popular. When I went to TNA, my TNA called it the Gringo Killer. And I'm like, that's too bad. You talking about I kill white people. And to be honest, too, I like white people, you know. I don't even know why he's doing this. But, you know, it was part of the character, so it was kind of cool, you know. But I did, they put the tone on me. You just got to chill out, calm down. You cannot do stuff. So, you know, I listened, I learned, and I went back to Ring of Honor or the indie circuit, and it felt like, yes, I'm home, I'm free. It felt like I was locked up, and I just got out. And I've been locked up, and when I got out, it was the best feeling in the world. And I do miss TNA. I do miss the boys, the real guys in there, because there's a lot of fake mofos in there, like people like, you know, like, Paul Riley's a cool guy. You know, we talk about Brian Winston, he's a cool guy, he's from New York, Craig Jenkins, you know, guys behind the scenes and of course the boys. But other than that, man, like some of those guys deserve to be, you know, get hit by the front of the bus, in my personal opinion, because these guys are bad people and they deserve to get burned in hell. But that's my opinion.
Speaking of bad people, when we had Jay Lethal here last week, he's not the bad person. He was really good. He had a blast here with us. And
oh, yeah. If he's bad, something's wrong with you, but he's one of the greatest people in this planet.
We talked with him about when he was Future Endeavored and the phone call he had with Terry Taylor, and a couple weeks later, Terry ended up returning a message and said, you're probably now going, so you're not the only one to be released. Did it surprise you when Terry got the Future Endeavor from TNA? Did you see that coming from, like, a block away?
No, I never see that. Like, I always liked Terry Taylor, and I heard a lot of negative stuff about Terry Taylor. They're telling me, like, you gotta watch out for these old school guys because they got this game that suck your brain up, you know, and everybody said you just gotta watch out for Terry Taylor, but... You know, I'm from Brooklyn. Nobody can put my brain on a scramble. I think to me, Terry Taylor is one of the good guys. A lot of people might say homicide's on drugs for saying that. I really don't care. Like, I had a personal issue when my father had passed away, and Terry Taylor did help me. And I don't care what he did in his personal life or whatever, but in my personal opinion, he's a good guy. And I like Terry Taylor. I know Cornette might hear this and Cornette might like it. Homicide, you on drugs. For real, man. Don't let him fool you. You know, but hey, that's my personal opinion, man. I like Terry, you know. You call it the Red Russo, I don't give a damn. You know, but to me, the man was a good guy. And hopefully, his problems he's having right now is the issue. I just hope it goes away because, you know, like what I see, man, when I was with TNA, and him helping me, giving me good knowledge and good advice, he's always been good to me, you know. And I like people who are always good to me because I always give them good back to them. I always give them that respect, and I always respect him and tell him no matter what. So I don't even know what's going on with his future or his life right now, but hopefully, man, he's very well.
We accept emails at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com, and we got one from Nicole Eberstein of Nashville, Tennessee, who wants to know, have you seen the product lately, including the new Mexican America gimmick that really kind of looks a lot like what you and Hernandez were doing a few years ago? Have you seen it? What do you think of it if you have?
I'd seen it. I kind of saw it because a couple of guys from my neighborhood, who's actually Puerto Ricans, was kind of upset of some kind of an angle that Karen Angle did and called them the girls, well, Rosa and Sarah, you bunch of rice and beans. And in New York, when you say that, that's kind of racist. But they're doing a character that's anti-American, you know. My thing is that, you know, I take racism very hard. I'm not a racist person. I did a character from LAX that everybody thought it was racism. It wasn't. It was, all right, this is white America. Your gringos got this country, or you're wrapping your hand, now it's our turn. That was LEX. LEX is, now it's our turn. The Latin's going to take over now. We're not saying that I hate you white people and being like, you know, those Farrakhan or those people. Ah, nah, man, it wasn't. It was a captain thing, and the captain was that we the ones taking over. Now y'all did it, now it's our turn. But, you know, they took it to another level. They became anti-American despised. And a lot of people told me just check it out, and I did. I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie. I don't like it. I hope that all four of those guys have a good future in their careers. I really don't know the newest member of their squad, but I did meet him in Kentucky when I did OVW. He looks like a nice guy. And he's one of those guys that wants to make it in the wrestling industry, and I don't blame him. But I'll be for real. I don't like the character, not because it's a wannabe LEX. I just feel that somebody like, I don't know, Savio Vega or Cornette should come to TNA to be their agent and give them a little touch of how the character should be. You know, right now Vince Russo's doing it, and I think it's not that great. If I was there, I'm telling you right now, it'd be awesome. It'd be more than awesome, you know, so I really don't like the character. They just be upfront. I don't like it. But those guys are good. They're cool.
The Notorious 187 Homicide joining us on All I Will of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. When you see what they're doing this coming Sunday with Ultimate X, it brings back the Ultimate X match of yours that I unfortunately missed because, hey, I went to New York and enjoyed a vacation. Take fans back to that night where it was LAX versus Styles and Daniels. What goes through your mind when you're told, okay, guys, the World Tag Team Championships are going to be hanging there, and it's the four of you. Have fun. How do you plan that?
They told us that was the first ever Tag Team Ultimate X match, so they was giving us a lot of pressure. Like, oh, man, we definitely got to screw the show and make this match, you know, famous, and that's what we did. But I was nervous. I got a bum shoulder, and I coined, like, you know, I couldn't climb those ropes very well. I got to do military climbing because of my shoulder. But yeah, I was a little nervous. And after the match, it was like, man, thank God this is over. I hope we tear the house in the back. Everybody with the promoters and our agents, they was very happy. And after that, I was real happy, man, because we did part of history. Right now, just let everybody know, like I say, that match is the first ever Tag Team Ultimate X match, even though they don't put that on TV. But, you know, it is what it is.
When you see what they've done recently, like losing the six-sided ring, and you know now they've gone with this whole Impact Wrestling thing, and basically with the color scheme, looks like Friday Night SmackDown. Do you just sit there and go, you know, we used to be an alternative to WWE, now we're WWE on, you know, like NutraSweet or Sweet and Low. That's almost how it feels, especially from being that I was sitting there watching you and Hernandez perform back in 05, 06, 07. Now I'm looking at it going, this is not even my TNA from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, like when Hogan and Bishop came into TNA, basically everything changes. The ring, you know, they thought that they're going to accomplish something, and let's be honest, they really did. You know, they got great talent in there, but, you know, the six-sided ring, they should bring it back, and they are. But I think they should bring it back full time because it's something different. And a lot of people want to see something different. They just don't want to see the same old thing every year, every decade. So it was different. Like, personally, I didn't even like the six-sided ring because it's very hard for your footwork for that ring. But it's different, it's very unique, and it's good for TV. When they change it, I was saying to myself, man, I hope this, you know, this go over. But it was over, all right. Like, not that great. But now they're bringing back the 6-7, I hope so. Now, with the light blue thing, I really don't know about that because, like I said, I just watched the Mexican-American thing, but I don't watch TNA. But a lot of people told me it looks like SmackDown. And I think, like, if I do my own promotion, I like to be different from these other organizations, even colors. I don't want the same thing. A lot of people telling me TNA looks like SmackDown. And I don't even know why it's blue. It should have been red. It should be green. I don't know. It should have been what TNA was about since the beginning. But, you know, they got their own vision, and they're going to stick with it. And they got to respect that.
The fans in the room wanted, okay, a couple of our fans are going, I know the answer because every year we say this, but if you could pick a team other than the Yankees that you think is going to win the World Series, who is it? Is there anyone that could take us out in the World Series?
That's a great question because... I'm very passionate about the Yankees, and if there's one team, I would not say the Phillies, of course not, because everybody thinks it's the Phillies, and of course everybody thinks it's the Red Sox. I cannot say the Red Sox. Even if you pay me like $15,000, that's how much I hate them. I would not take $15,000. But I would say, if I take one team, I think it would be... This is a hard question, Devin. I would say the Texas Rangers.
Oh, that's an interesting pick. Our executive producer, Sir Rockin, would probably be nudging me going, ask him about the Phillies. Like, you know, you're in Philly right now. What do you think of them? They've had a kick-ass rotation going, but recently they've fallen on some injuries.
I mean, I'm friends with Shane Victorino, and he's a great guy, and I respect the players, but the fans, I'm thinking the Indians are hardcore. These fans out here, they're very hardcore, and they don't shut up. You know, they like every time when the Phillies lose, the city is so quiet, but when they win, it's like July 4th. Independence Day, firecrackers. And I'm saying to myself, like, these guys, man, like, they're good, but you can have confidence and faith, but their confidence is on another level. And I said to myself, the Phillies are a great team. Matter of fact, those are my pick for the National League team to go to World Series. It is the Phillies. But, man, these fans out here, they hardcore, man. They say things that I'd be like, hey, you better chill out. As a matter of fact, I was telling somebody, and they got furious. Like, they beat the Tampa Bay, and no offense to the Tampa Bay fans, but Tampa Bay is not a championship contender. So basically, the Phillies beat the Rays. So they're saying to themselves, well, you know, Tampa's not a real team. We want the real team, and they want the Yankees. I remember the Yankees was in the playoffs, and the Phillies went to the World Series. They was calling us out. We want the Yankees. Damn, we didn't even want the series yet. You calling us out already? All right, we're in there. Game one, of course, we lost to Cliff Lee. To me, he's a Yankee killer. And after that, you know, we won 2, 3, and 4. I was kind of mad that we went to the Philly Stadium and we lost, but the Yankees wanted to lose because they want to win the World Series in their home, in their new stadium, and that's what we did. So I told the gentleman, like, okay, you got the Yankees, there's no excuse, and it's like a boxing fight. Like, they beat Tampa, they got the title, we beat them. Now, we took their title, and to this day, right now, they hate the Yankees. They don't hate the Mets. They hate the Yankees because we embarrassed them and we took their title. And they are praying. If they go to the World Series, I know they want to pick the Yankees to go to the World Series because they want payback. They want that receipt.
Yeah,
and like I said, I don't see it. Like, I see Cliff Lee, but I don't see it. I really don't.
I gotta bring up our other love, our mutual love, and that's our New York Knicks. When you were sitting there watching the draft, I mean, at least on my end, I'm sitting there going, Jimmer, fall. Come on, Jimmer, fall. Jimmer goes to Sacramento, and then we get a guy named Iman. Were you sitting there like Spike Lee was going, who the hell are you?
Yes, I was. Like, I was very confused. I was saying to myself, who the hell are you? Like, I wanted to throw my chair. You know, and I think the Knicks needed a power forward in the center, a good center, but they got a guard. And I hope they do good, but, you know, the Nets moved to Brooklyn, so you never know what can happen with the Brooklyn Nets, whatever their team name is going to be.
I'd keep them Brooklyn Nets. Why not? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, like, they are making the stadium, but they're going to open up next year, and they're not going to be great. They're still going to be the New Jersey Nets, but they're going to change, and they're going to change. It will take, like, a couple of years, just like the Knicks. And to me, the hottest Knicks team was 95, with Patrick Ewing, Oakley, Anthony Mason, even John Stockton. And, you know, they went to the playoffs this year. And next year, they might go to the conference championship. Yeah, you never know. They might go all the way to the NBA Finals. And I hope to do well, man, because after that loss with the Indiana Pacers, when Reggie Miller did the You Choked Out with Spike Lee, that kind of ruined my NBA right there. I didn't watch the NBA. And after that, it was getting better. Because LeBron James brought that wrestling character, like, I don't bring my talent to South Beach, and everybody's like, boo, you like Hollywood Hogan. I'm like, what the hell's going on here, man?
What did you think of the NBA Finals? Were you surprised that Dallas handled them that easy and LeBron basically no-showed in the fourth quarter every game?
No, I think I wasn't a surprise. Dallas is a very tough team. Dirt, man, first of all, Jason Kidd deserved that ring. And maybe he is going to win the championship, but it's not going to be, I don't know about next year, but if they thought they was going to Dallas and beat them, it's not going to happen. I was not surprised at all. I think Dallas is going to bring the A game and trying to bring everybody's spirit in Miami, and that's what he did. And I think Jason Kidd deserves a ring. Now, next year, it's going to be better, and I can't wait because I don't watch the NBA, but now I want to watch it.
Which ends first, the NBA lockout or the NFL lockout?
I think, to me, it's kind of dumb, man, because I was watching something with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was right. He said they kind of opened up the NFL lockout because a lot of these kids, they're going to get bored, and they're going to go out there, and the crime rate is going to go even bigger. Now, the NBA, come on. Now it's two sports that is going to be a lockout. I just don't want baseball to be a lockout because baseball being a lockout, I'm going to go crazy, man. I'm going to go to Cooperstown, man, and get the cops because the bus sick, man. Like, I don't want that to happen.
Spug is back with us. Go ahead, Spug. Spug? And he's eating a hot dog. Put the hot dog down. Ask your question before he's got to go.
What? I'm sorry. I'm following my wife home.
Oh, okay. On my way home. Yeah, we still got homicide for the last couple minutes, so go ahead.
I know. Can I ask my can I ask the question we ask everybody?
Okay. I'm not responsible for. Come on, the dude's name is homicide. You really want to ask this question?
I do.
Okay, I'm not responsible for what happens when he.
You know what? I'm gonna have to violate the language filter here, but it's like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre say. Some niggas fuck around and get caught up in a 187.
Oh, Lord. Go ahead. We've got two standard questions we normally ask during interviews. I don't know.
I'm just gonna ask one.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
You know, I'm sure you've seen some goodies. So I have to know, what is the best rib you have ever pulled, seen pulled, or had someone dumb enough to pull on you?
A rib?
Yes.
I don't know what, I think Allie was there. It was old fire. I was there. I was doing the Jeff Peterson Cup. I was drunk, and I was punching hotel windows.
I was
and
there
the cop
for that
came. Yeah, the cop came and he's telling me what happened, and I'm like, sir, I got attacked by these two Canadians. I think they're in room 102. So the cop went to 102, and they found Teddy Hart handcuffed and everything, and had drugs inside the room. I think Jack Evans was in there too. And basically, I never heard from Teddy Hart after he went to Mexico. But I think that's like one of my biggest ribs. Then I heard that a couple of things that I get drunk. I like to pee on people thinking I'm R. Kelly. But I pee on people, I don't know, people I don't like. I don't know. But these are people telling me that I didn't remember when I'm drunk.
Yeah, I was.
Two Canadians attacked me.
I was witness to all the fun of Peterson Cup 04 and him walking into the National Guard Armory. D, what the hell happened to your hand? I don't effing remember. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, like Mike Stryker and Mickey Bentley told me, yeah, you punched hotel windows. You told the cops that Teddy Hart attacked you and they locked them up.
Nice. You know, to say something about LeBron real quick. Hey, we in Cleveland, we're used to him disappearing in big moments.
Ooh.
Yes, but matter of fact, if you're from Cleveland, how you feel about LeBron James?
Oh, God, you're opening a can of worms, my man.
I'm going to give you a better question. Would you rather have LeBron James picking up your kids from school or Alex Rodriguez?
Or what?
Would you rather have Alex Rodriguez picking your kids up from school or LeBron James? Who would you kill first?
You know, it's Rodriguez. And, all right, here's the thing. I do not begrudge LeBron for leaving. I don't. He had the ability to opt out of his contract. It was in writing. It was all legal. He was perfectly free to go wherever he wanted to go. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me one bit. But as a Clevelander, we have been part of some of the biggest sports flops in history. The shot,
yes.
The drive, the fumble, Jose Mesa melting down in the bottom of the ninth in the 97 World Series when we had that son of a bitch locked up. You know, we've been part of all of that.
Yes.
And to have him, as convoluted and pretentious as it was, to go on national television and make a fool out of the city that I grew up in, and make them look like that on national television, and then to drag it out as long as he did so we didn't have a shot at any other free agents, that's what made me mad. That's what made me mad. You know, if someone, let's put it this way, could you imagine Jeter doing that to New York?
Can you imagine I'd be very upset.
Could you imagine the vitriol that Jeter would get if he did that to the Yankees?
Oh, my God. Like, you ever seen that movie, The Other Guys? They made an inside joke when Mark Wahlberg was saying, like, it was this guy, but I couldn't see him, so he shot Jeter. And the guys was like, you shot Jeter? You should have shot A-Rod. What the hell? And that's how we feel. We feel that if something happens to Jeter, it's going to be problems. But with A-Rod, you know, at least Jeter's okay. A-Rod, you can do whatever you want to with A-Rod.
Let me ask you this real short one before we let you. We have to let you go. I'm so sorry I couldn't be here for all of it. But unfortunately, in my little warped mind, my uncle comes first, so...
And we're happy that you spend time with him while he's here.
But, you know, Jeter's been hurt with that strained calf, and he's definitely on the downside of his career.
Oh, please.
He is. Come on, he is. Jeter is one of the few New York Yankees, along with Mariano Rivera, I actually like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but... Is it time for Jeter to hang him up, maybe go coach third base?
I think he's not ready to hang it up. I know that he's 37 years old, and he shouldn't be playing shortstop when he's 40. You know, I'm thinking that Posada is going to retire next year, and I'm thinking Brian Cashman is going to put Jeter as a DH. But you never know. Yeah, you're right, man. For the last 2 years, Jeter has not been playing great. And I got this one jabroni from Boston said that Jeter's overrated. I don't see that. How the hell is he overrated? Now, the All-Star break, it's a fluke. Because Jeter is my favorite player, but I think he shouldn't be part of the All-Star. He just came back from a DL. And now CC and Mark is not going to be the All-Star. I don't know. I think baseball is becoming politics like wrestling, my personal opinion.
You're welcome for CC, by the way.
I love every minute of having him on my rotation.
Yes,
right.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we all beat Cleveland 9-0 because of CeCe.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
You know what? I'm not expecting, look, Cleveland's doing good this year. They're doing really good, but I'm not expecting them to go out and win the World Series. They're not going to win 100 games. I'm just happy that baseball matters in Cleveland again.
Especially right now that Carlos Santana just got traded from the Yankees. It's breaking news right now.
Oh, wow.
What?
I'm just kidding. I don't want to get into a car accident.
What?
You know, Brian Pumel just came out.
I was like, we just traded Carlos Santana? What the hell?
You almost made Spud crash his car, man. All right. On that note, we're going to wrap it up, unfortunately. You can find him on Facebook under Lucha Side. You can find the replays of Best of the World 2011 and also the Urban Wrestling Federation online. Look for the iPay-per-views and whatnot. Coming up after the break, we will get into more fun that CM Punk had on his Australian vacation, and we will preview Destination X on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
Journey with me into the mind of a maniac. Doomed to be a killer since I came out the nut sack. I'm in a murderous mind state with a heart full of terror. I see the devil in the mirror.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Anna Christophe.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Yeah, this is the black machismo for all you guys who out there thinking, who could this possibly be? Yes, the one and only, yeah, man, this is on top, and this is the OWW. Yeah, one more time, yeah, OWW, one more time. Say it again. It's the OWW, and this is the home of the black machismo. Ooh, yeah!
Something special for me. It's way too many suckers in the VIP. Tell it, got my car up front. Tell me, do you wanna kick it in the backseat?
I wanna get put by just
in the backseat.
So I can be a backstage driver.
I wanna get put by just
in the backseat.
So
thanks.
the Notorious 187 Homicide for joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com and WRWWrestling.net. Kevin Scott will join us in a moment. Spug will join us in a moment. Unfortunately, this past Saturday, I actually suffered a great loss. A friend of mine named Justin Honeycutt, who wrestled here in Florida under the stage name of Rise, was tragically injured at his 9-to-5 job in Orlando. And at 30 years old, a great wrestling career was taken. He was known as the Korean Nightmare. Not every day that you run into a 6-foot-10 Korean guy. And he would light up locker rooms with his charm and personality, and he will be sadly missed. There is a ceremony that's going to take place tomorrow in Orlando, and I wish my new job would let me go to it, but I'm probably not going to be able to make it. You can check his Facebook account, which I believe his wife has taken over. Look for Justin Honeycutt, or you can go to wrestling911.com. That is a Florida-based message board. So, yeah, not a lot of fun to be watching UFC on Saturday and be told by actually the god of internet himself, Sorokin, and put the thing up on the board, and I had to drop the headsets and go, I'll be back, because I'm about to go cry for about an hour and a half. So thank you for your patience with me tonight. It's a little difficult, but you know, life goes on, as we say in the wrestling business. So both Spug and Kevin are joining us here via their phone lines. We'll get into some TNA towards the end of this, because I know Spug is like, dude, shut up with the TNA. Well, they have a pay-per-view this Sunday, so I got to talk a little bit about it. But we are into week two of, well, is he leaving? Is it a work? Is it a shoot? Here's what we do know. CM Punk continued the storyline with WWE at a Friday night event in Sydney, Australia. It was announced before the program in Australia that CM Punk was suspended by McMahon, but he and Punk reached an agreement where he would only perform a live event and not Monday Night Raw. Punk then came out, cut a promo on the McMahon family, among others, before his mic was cut off. All this led to Punk losing to Rey Mysterio in the opening match. Now, the CM Punk, I'm leaving, what are they going to do, Fire Me World Tour, rolled on to Adelaide, is probably the way this is pronounced, and if it's wrong, I'm sure Mace will type in later going, you're wrong, that's not how it's pronounced. It's all over the interwebs. I'm sure you can find it. Even TMZ picked this thing up. A video of Punk clearly heard shouting controversial insults towards some of the ringside fans. He actually tells one fan that he has a vagina, and then later in the same video says that he's a homo. You can also hear Punk, he's telling someone, sit down before you get hurt. A rep from TMZ got an email from WWE that said, WWE does not condone this type of language or bias, and we enforce that with our talent who are independent contractors. Well, Punk himself got on Twitter. Now, he can't claim his account was hacked while he was drunk, because as we heard from Homicide, he's straight-edged. Punk put this up saying, I'm glad TMZ posted that video because everybody needs to be held accountable for their bullcrap, and me included. What I said was bullcrap. I'm embarrassed. I own up to being a total douche in this situation, and I offer sincere apology to anybody I would hurt with careless words. Pretty rare for someone to come out like that and go, yeah, I was wrong. Are you surprised, first off, Kevin, that this even happened? Or are you more surprised that it happened and Punk actually owned it and said, yeah, I did it. I'm a dumbass.
Well, the best part about this whole situation is that if you follow him on Twitter, he's very pro-gay. A lot of his posts, he's always talking about gay rights, equality and marriage and everything like that. So this is kind of a strange turn of events. I completely see him, he was in character. He wasn't being overly offensive. Granted, you use maybe some words and language that, you know, not exactly in the PC era that works so well. But as far as him owning up to it, that's exactly what I expected him. If he had to come out and make a statement, that he would come out and do something like that.
Oh, God.
It's from Mace.
We have just received an email from the anonymous OWW chatter, and I quote, Carl Smart says, I only have two things to say about the CM Punk situation. One, WWE is in Australia. We are a very upfront and crass crowd to work in front of, and comments like CM Punk's are often said to cement heels with the crowd. Two, GLAAD is an American organization who needs to keep its politically correct fear BS out of my country. WWE would be dealing with the gay pride groups here, but guess what? They don't care. He's not done. In the end, CM Punk did what he needed to do to keep up his heel persona, and while he got up in his rant at the fan, he was only doing his job. This whole thing shows that some American groups believe that they can patrol the world. Now, Spug, tell me how wrong I am. I'm not insulting America as a whole, just one group and their overly politically correct way of thinking. So the ball is on your side of the net, Spug.
Oh, no, he's right. He's absolutely right. Glad he's shut their mouth.
Yeah, but that was the first thing that popped into my head, and I even said it to Rock when I saw, I found it, I think it was on DIY Wrestling, the link, the thing, TMZ, and I said to Rock, I said, give it 30 seconds, GLAAD or another group will jump on this, and sure enough, they did.
Well, alright, here's the thing. Some of the things that GLAAD does, I'm fully for, and, you know, as a heterosexual in America, we tend to go a little bit overboard with being offended by things, and the gay culture is one of the last groups to have, you know, very little civil liberties. Right? They are. So I can understand, you know, GLAAD trying to stick up and say, hey, you know, those are hurtful words, but they're words. They're words. If you don't let them offend you, then they're not offensive anymore. Then they don't, you know, a word only has as much meaning as you put on it. You know?
Absolutely.
I can't tell you how many times I used derogatory marks towards Kevin. And yet he laughs and he's like, what's up, bro? Now, if he was offended, he'd tell me to go F myself. That's just the type of guy Kevin is. Either that or he'd come shoot me with his gat. I'm not sure.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's got them all underneath the mattress.
Go there, really, gat? Really?
Yeah, he called it a gat, man. He's down with the ghetto lingo. God. Yeah, let me transition while we're in the CM Punk gate. Let me continue with what the other as Punk's world turns. After the double taping of Monday Night Raw in Las Vegas, Punk met with WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon to further discuss the status with the company. But at that point, there was no word on how this meeting went. The parties apparently meeting occurred as rehearsals for the show was being walked through, and what was discussed is for Punk to be treated more like a main event guy, as well as some time off to heal after being 6 years without a break. Here's where it gets fun, and this was brought up on Wrestle Talk Radio, heard on this same network. Those close to Punk say he also mentioned his friend and our least favorite interview subject, current ROH star and former WWE talent, Scotty Colt Cabana Golden, in the meeting, asking Vince to bring him back and straight to the main roster as insurance that Punk would sign a new deal. Now, no word on what else was said, but apparently the meeting lasted 2 hours. Now, sources within WWE revealed to certain websites that'll remain nameless till they actually emailed me, but hey, I have power beyond your comprehension. Have revealed that not only is Vinnie Mac upset, but Spug's husband, Triple H, is apparently very angry at talent relations leader, Johnny Ace, Johnny Laurinaitis, over his failure to apparently re-sign Punk. What we were told is that there's heat on him seriously because this is the second serious failure this year, including the one that let Chris Jericho walk away. One source said, this is the same job Jim Ross had for years, and it's a heat magnet because you're trapped with Vince's expectations and the talent who wants to break away from this brutal schedule. Another company source mentioned that Johnny Ace has made millions in salary and has stock options. He's expected to perform for that money and produce results. Right now, he's not getting it done, the job that Vince expects of him. So when you hear something like that, Kevin, do you still think, yeah, this is a work? Or are you thinking, wait a minute, maybe this is a shoot? Mixed in with a work, but it's a shoot.
There's always going to be a little bit of truth to certain things. Obviously, like when we saw the promo, everyone's on the edge of seat because we're all thinking, yes, finally someone's saying this. We all believe exactly what Punk was letting the world know. My heart tells me it's 100% work. I don't see them giving him the certain leeway that they did, especially in terms of bad-mouthing USA Network programming. But it's just a crazy situation, and I kind of wish that maybe the follow-through on the second taping would have been a little bit better in order to keep up the air believability. But I don't know how far they could possibly go without, you know, either going one way a little bit too far or just saying, okay, this is just actually bullshit.
When you see what went on, Spug, with the second promo that happened on Monday Night Raw, which had Vince and, of course, our champion, man who's never going to lose the belt, John Cena, basically in a verbal tug of war that was kind of, I was sitting there kind of going, he's basically calling Vince a chicken in certain instances, and he's like, okay, cool, you want Punk, you're going to get Punk, but if you lose the championship to Punk, guess what? You're fired, Cena. What did you think of any of the promo?
I didn't see any of the promo, but I saw a little bit of the video posted about it last week with the confrontation between McMahon and Cena. And McMahon's exact words were, if Punk leaves Chicago with the WWE title, Cena's fired. And I think Cena's dropping the title to Punk, but I think the Money in the Bank winner's cashing it in that night.
Well, funny you say that, because let's go with your scenario for a minute. Punk walks out with the belt. Now you've got in the Raw Money in the Bank match, and this is a lot of people: Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston, Jack Swagger, Rey Mysterio, Del Rio, A-Rai, The Miz, and R-Truth. If you're booking this show, Spug, of those eight guys, who do you want to cash in?
There's three individuals who legitimately would cash in. Three: Del Rio, Miz, and R-Truth. Those are the three individuals who as a booker, have a legitimate believability for winning and cashing in the Money in the Bank. Now, if you're asking me who I would have do it, I would have The Miz do it. I would put the belt back on The Miz.
Because
at this juncture in time, I think the best, the kind of the best thing to do is, one, put the belt back on him, and you could slowly turn him babyface and have him feud with Del Rio.
Do you buy in that, Kevin? Are you buying that, Kevin, or do you want to go in a different direction if you were creative?
I'm on the same wavelength in terms of, I'd probably put it on the Miz first, because of the dynamics that are involved. Del Rio would be a close second, with probably Archie being a very distant third. But, if I had to, you know, put only, you know, one guy, it's probably gonna be the Miz.
Are you surprised the way they've been using him lately? Because once again, he lost to Alex Riley last evening. But he snapped back into place and, you know, tear assed around. And I was watching it on different households. My new friend Jackie Feist, who will be doing a podcast on historyofwwe.com, she just said, I find it weird. He does that twitching thing. You know, he gets all serious, and I'm like, well, maybe the Miz is snapping back into reality, you know, worked out as a t-shirt, I don't know.
Hey, here's the thing I like about the Miz. He did that interview, and there was stuff posted all over Dirt Sheets about some of his comments about his early days in WWE, where he's walking into a public restroom in the arena to change because guys were trying to freeze him out of the locker room. And he went from that to WWE champion and main eventing WrestleMania. Now, you know, I may not like the gimmick all that much, but you gotta have a respect for a guy who works that hard.
Oh, definitely.
And going from Master of Ceremonies on SmackDown to WWE Champion, now they've got him working with A-Rod. To me, I think it's kind of a little bit of a test. What are you willing to do for the company? And I think Miz has proven time and time again, he wants to be a wrestler that bad, he'll do anything. He'll do anything for the company. And I can't fault that quality. I can't.
One other thing I want to bring up before we move to TNA wrestling is, this has been brought up on certain message boards that are out there. Many names were name checked last Monday, and we forgot to bring this up last Tuesday, so I wanted to bring it up now. One of the names that was name checked by Punk when he was in his little, I'm protesting, I'm having a little sit in here, let's all sing Kumbaya F.U., along with Vince McMahon being name-checked and John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Brock Lesnar, was one Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That The Rock apparently called, yep, he apparently called him Vince McMahon ass-kicker, and voiced disapproval about Dwayne's role in next year's WrestleMania, not himself. Thanks to the social networking site Twitter, The Rock brought forth CM Punk. It's simple business. The Rock is at the main event in WrestleMania because it draws more money in one night than you will in a lifetime. Pretty bold words from a guy who hasn't been in a wrestling ring in 7 or 8 years, Kevin. Do you buy what The Rock is selling?
Well, it might be a little bit of exaggeration, but is he really that far off? I mean, he is a legitimate mainstream star. He brings a lot of credibility to the program in terms of maybe the casual fan, as we just saw this past WrestleMania, where it got a definite boost in buy rates. And I'm sure part of it's also him, you know, in character talking smack against CM Punk. So I guess I do buy what he's cooking.
I do to a point. WrestleMania drew 1.5 million. Rock was probably responsible for the 0.5. The other 1 million were people who were going to buy WrestleMania anyway and tune in anyway. The thing with The Rock is, like John Cena said, don't fuck me around and tell me you love me and then turn your back on me. The Rock stood in the middle of that ring.
Yes.
And said, I'm never leaving you again. Where's The Rock?
I believe heading to G.I. Joe 2 from what I read somewhere.
Mm-hmm. He's going to film more movies.
Fast and Furious 17, I think.
He doesn't give a shit about the wrestling thing. He doesn't care about wrestling. It's beyond him. He's beyond it. He doesn't care anymore. And I voiced my displeasure with having him and Cena announced as the main event of WrestleMania the week after WrestleMania. You know, save that. You could have saved that for the Royal Rumble and built it up to me. You don't need it, you know, a year in advance. You don't. You could have drawn the contract out and had it ready, but you didn't have to announce the storyline. And the whole thing just, it irks me. It really irks me because John Cena, we played it on WTR Sunday night. John Cena cut a promo.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's having fun in Australia.
Well, John Cena cut a great promo. A great promo. It won't get any airtime in the United States, but he cut a great promo. And this is... I've done a complete 180 on John Cena. I couldn't stand him for the longest time because he was the new Hulk Hogan. And I have done a complete 180 on John Cena. I admire him and I respect him for the crap that he puts up with, that he doesn't have to. Forever, and all the stuff he does for charities, and the promo that he cut in Australia was magnificent. He said, I'm here. I'm here because I care about you. I'm here because you pay the money to come see us. And people started chanting Rocky. And he goes, Rock's not here. Rock's in Florida, but I'm here. Because I said I'd be here. You know, and CM Punk made a very valid point 2 weeks ago when he cut that promo. There's no reason for... I don't care if Rock could draw more in one night than Cena would, or than Punk would in a lifetime. I don't care. It's the fact that Punk puts the work in and day out, night in and night out. He's proven that he's a main event star, and you're pissing on him. Because you want a used-to-be from the 90s to come in just so you can get a few extra buys.
Yeah, it is. It's just one of those things that when you hear that audio, Kevin, you're just like, that's really great, John. How about saying that in America? You're saying it to some fans in Australia that, I mean, I know thanks to YouTube that you can't sneeze as a celebrity and not have 85 cameras going, did he say bless you? I mean, do you buy what he's saying, or is this a character change that we may see soon in Cena? That, you know, you're not respecting me, and I've been here, and, you know, he's gone to Hollywood, and I went, but I came back to my love, and he doesn't love this, but I do, and now you hate me for it.
Simply in terms of merchandise sales, I'd be hard-pressed to believe they would actually go, you know, the full route of turning him with him or whatever. But maybe more of a harder edge, the PG-14 type thing that used to be in the past. It might be reemerging, but that just might be wishful thinking. So I really don't know what's going to happen.
All right, Spug will be joining us back in a moment here. He is going to join us on Skype. He had a good time at his family's barbecue, which we're very happy he was able to take time to be with us here tonight, and I'm glad all of you have taken time at home. Thank goodness none of you blew yourselves up, which is a good thing. Watch that. Speaking of blowing up, that would be Brock Lesnar. He's in the news once again, and no, it's not for no showing our interview with a foot of colon being taken out. Dave Meltzer, the god of a Wrestling Observer, reported that Brock and Paulie are actually in negotiations for a return to the WWE. However, the parties are involved only in consumer products, so it's almost like a the Legends deal, that someone like Iron Sheik or the Killer Bees or the Estates of Rick Rude would be involved in. Are you really looking forward to like a retro? Would you buy a retrospective of Lesnar's matches from WWE, or was his career not that significant in this current market that fans are involved in?
I don't really see him being a major deal. I mean, granted, there'd be some people who would buy it no matter what, but in terms of you know what his career was. It was way too short. And I mean, you're going to put the final match against Goldberg on there? That's just, I don't see it being a necessary buy.
Oh, why not? You know you want to. Don't forget next, I believe it's the, is it out today or is it out the 12th? Because I've got different notes on the best of the cage matches, which is a triple DVD. It is out today.
That's
okay.
On my coffee table, yeah.
You bastard. At least you didn't stand us up for the woman, which we'll discuss off air. We'll discuss your new friend.
I'm about to. I'm very sorry.
You're gonna bounce on us? That's okay.
Unfortunately, because I'm being a bad host.
She's still there.
I'm not allowed to talk about it on air.
Okay.
She didn't like my voicemail to you, did she?
Probably not, no.
Don't forget, you can find him on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, it is Kevin_K_Scott. He will be back with us from time to time. Enjoy your hosting, and thanks for stopping by.
I will say I'm definitely going to watch the TNA pay-per-view this Sunday, so I'm going to look forward to talking about that.
Yeah, you can always call in. I probably, unless my work schedule changed, I may not be on Wrestle Talk Radio to help with the recap, but I'm sure Spug and Rock can track you down and strap you to the seat and go talk about it now.
It should be fun.
All right, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
All right, Kevin Scott joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. I wanted to ask Kevin about this incident, but unfortunately I didn't have the time to have him around. Kevin, being that he's also in the Northeast, like myself, like Homicide, we know of the Brooklyn Cyclones. It's the short season single A affiliate of the New York Mets. A couple years ago they had a show at their stadium, which I believe is called MCU Park. It's on Coney Island, and TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, whatever the hell they're called, I don't know. They had a live event there. They've been doing the, I believe it's called Base Brawl events, where they're playing minor league ballparks. They had one this past, I believe it was Friday night, and several TNA wrestlers confirmed to us at Online World of Wrestling Radio that there is enormous heat once again on a certain legend. And it would be our favorite Nature Boy Ric Flair. Now, this is what we heard from fans that were in attendance. We also heard this from our TNA sources, that Ric Flair arrived very late to the event at MCU Park. Flair did sign autographs along with many of the other TNA superstars during the intermission, but he adamantly refused to participate in the after-show meet-and-greet with the fans. He claimed backstage he was never asked to do it, so there was no reason for him to sign more autographs. One TNA wrestler told us, and also told DOIWrestling.com, quote, "Flair was already there, so why not go out and thank the fans who showed up? It doesn't make sense. We're all out there doing our best to promote this company and try to keep it alive, and Flair is acting as if the entire wrestling business owes him. I am very disappointed." Another wrestler said, "Flair used to be the most popular wrestler with the boys everywhere in the world, but this entire TNA run has been a real embarrassment to his career. I grew up a fan of Ric Flair, and I'll always respect his work, but this is a real shame." When you hear something like that, Spug, what's your first thoughts? Do you think this is blown out of proportion, or is this Flair's only doing this now because of the money. He's not doing it for the love now. It seems he may be doing it for the money. Is that the vibe you get, or do you have a different take on this?
I think Flair is doing it for the money, to a point. But I think Flair is doing this run in TNA because he's Flair and he can. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's Ric Flair could. It's like Dave Chappelle or Jamie Foxx or oh my God, what's his name?
Martin Lawrence.
No, not Martin Lawrence. Tommy Davidson.
Okay.
Or Jerry Seinfeld or whomever. You know, pick a very famous stand-up comic. Calling into the improv and going, I'd like to drop by. You know, I'll be there Friday at 8:30. Well, whatever local schmuck that that improv has on Friday at 8:30, guess what? They don't have a booking anymore. It's the same with Flair. Flair says, I want to work for your company. You're going to make a spot for him because he's Ric Flair. And getting his ego fed like that, you know, it's only hurting, one, his legacy, and two, it hurts the business.
Mm.
Honestly, quite honestly, 3 years ago, when he lost to Shawn Michaels and was going to retire, you should have walked out of WWE and rode off into the sunset and just let it go. You could have worked as a road agent. You could have sat at home and been a personal consultant for Vince. He could have had any job he wanted. But he's gone and done this, and it's just... It's, man, I feel bad for anybody that has to deal with him.
I mean, he just had to settle up with High Spots for, I think, the tune of $35,000, and apparently he's making way more than that working for Dixie and friends down south. So, it, as you said, it's just, it's hard, especially for someone like me, that I'm a major, major nature boy of Mark, and I probably would bow and curtsy if I ever saw him, if I went to Orlando. And it's just, you know, it's the old adage that people say, you know, when I went to meet my legend or my hero, it killed my vision of the legend and hero I have, and I hate it.
Yeah. What really kind of makes me sad about all of this is that Ric Flair quite possibly was one of the most recognizable wrestlers ever. And probably the single greatest influence on wrestlers in the business, whether they're with TNA, ROH, WWE, or, you know, working on an indie level. He's influenced, you know, thousands of people. And yet, unfortunately, we've come to this stage where he has bought into his own legend and his own hype and feels that he is owed things and doesn't have to earn them anymore. And maybe he's been like that all along. You know what I mean?
You think maybe he was that way towards the end in WWE?
No, I meant his whole career. Maybe he's been that way all along.
Oh, wow.
You know? Maybe he's quietly been that arrogant prick all along, and nobody, you know, either nobody said anything about it or nobody did anything about it because he was Ric Flair and he drew money. So I don't know, but it's rather sad to see it like this.
No, it's, as I said, it's a sensitive subject that unfortunately, as doing the media here, I have to do this. I know Mace, we're having issues with the Ustream. I believe it's on Justin TV now, is Rock? Is that where we're being fed on besides Ustream? I don't know the technical lingo, man. I'm just the guy on the headset going, hi, how are you? TNA Impact set up a couple more matches for this Sunday's Destination X All X Division event. Yay. You've got the Extreme Division Champion, as he's calling himself, the Monster Abyss, taking on the Brian Kendrick. AJ Styles will take on the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. Damn, I was hoping that was going to be something different. Turns out it's not, but I'm not complaining because I'm going to get to see Samoa Joe versus Frankie the Future Kazarian of Fortune. Which was, that was fun to see them do that little bar brawl, and I'm going, I know that place! I bet you as soon as they yelled cut, they were going, who wants a beer? Because those cats can really take it down. We are gonna have the match that I know Spug, Mace, Omega, Tim Stein are all excited for. I'm more excited because he's making a return to the ring after her horrific neck injury. You're gonna get what you were supposed to get at Hardcore Justice. You're going to get Jerry Lynn versus the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. And, yeah, I think it's going to be, I hope it lives up to what I want to see. Because I've seen bits and pieces of their ECW stuff towards the end of the promotion. And everything I saw, I just, wow, you know, if you just let these guys go. You don't even have to tell them what to do. It's just like, Jerry, Rob, have fun. We'll see you in 20 minutes. Go get them. There will be an Ultimate X match. Now, I'm not 100% sure on this because TNA's website, Impact Wrestling, their website itself isn't being specific. You're going to have a match to sign a new superstar. Shima Zion, or as he's being called, Zima Ion, will take on Loki, who will take on the Austin Aries, who will take on, well, yeah, I'm gonna spoil it, why not? Jack Evans will be making his return to TNA Wrestling, and if fans are going, what do you mean return? Yeah, he was a part of Team Canada way back in, I believe, 03 when they were doing the World X Cup in Nashville. So I'm hoping, yeah, Jack Evans was back in the day. He was in there. At one point it was him, it was Evans, Teddy, Devine, and either Petey or Bobby Roode were in at that point. So I think it'll be interesting to see. They're apparently going to announce they're probably going to announce some other stuff on this Thursday's Impact. They announced some matches, but I seem to be the only one watching, so what am I going to do, announce it for myself? Let me recap. You had a couple Bound for Glory series matches if you're keeping score at home. Brother Devon defeated Samoa Joe. Joe can't get off the schneid, man. I don't know what they're trying to do here. You had another Bound for Glory series match between Gunnar and AJ Styles. And I know there's people that dislike Gunnar, Phil Shatter, whatever you want to call him, but he's having really good matches. But then again, I've never trained in my life. I could have a good match with AJ Styles. We could stick my daughter or Spug's daughter in the ring with AJ and tell him, okay, just listen to what Alan says when he's in the ring with you, and he'll get you there, and it'll look good. We were, as mentioned, Loki, Kaval, Senshi, whatever you want to call him, made his return to TNA Wrestling along with, yes, Jimmy Yang of the Flying Elvises. He broke out the Elvis gear. And it took me a couple minutes there, Spug, but I'm going, hey, that is that Matt Bentley? I didn't even recognize him, and I've known Matt for years. I hadn't seen Matt in a couple years. I'm just going, really? Wow, what happened to your hair, dude? So here's the scoring as it sits right now, and believe me, we'll address the Joker in the room in a minute. Gunner is actually leading the Bound for Glory series with 21 points. Crimson is 17, and that's spelled C-R-I-M-S-O-N for those counting at home. Matt Morgan and AJ Styles have 14. James Storm, Scott Steiner, Bully Ray, Brother Devon have 7. Bobby Roode, RVD, the Pope D'Angelo Nero, and Samoa Joe have nada. Gotta bring this up because it's come up on the interwebs. The new look of Sting, which is looking more and more and more like the late Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker in the Warner Brothers film The Dark Knight. And I'm still sitting here going, I know Sir Rock and Sir Rock was laughing at me when I was like, get the numbers to Warner Brothers? Why? He says, because I want to know if they're going to be suing this son of a bitch's ass. Because isn't this gimmick infringement, or is it more an homage in your view?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know. What really kind of bothers me is that he can go in so many different directions, and he chose to go this route.
Now, apparently, this has to do with an indie wrestler whose stage name is, and let me spell it, because this is where I heard that, I believe this was on the Mid-South Nashville, Tennessee baseboard, the Trent Van Dries runs. My friend Tamela Jones, who appears on that board as Ember, brought it up because she is friends with Tommy Mercer, who plays Crimson, spelled C-R-I-M-S-O-N. There is an indie wrestler who works under the name of Crimson, K-R-I-M-S-O-N. Now, apparently this Crimson, spelled that way, submitted an audition tape to TNA Wrestling where he was portraying a character who looked a lot like the late Heath Ledger's Thing. And, of course, he's claiming, Sting stole my crap, Vince Russo stealing my crap. And I'm gonna sue you. I'm just like, first off, dude, I've never heard of you. And I've been doing this for 10 years, covering stuff. And if I haven't heard of you, what makes you really think that if TNA's heard of you? I mean, it's the old line. Everybody steals from everybody, Spug. I mean, do you buy that this indie wrestler is coming out going, they stole my stuff and I want money, I want t-shirts, I want this.
I can speak from experience, Alan.
Okay, please do.
To this Crimson fellow in Nashville, you don't want to go this route. Because you'll lose. A few years ago, when Rhino made his debut in TNA, they brought him in as the War Machine Rhino. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was wrestling at the time as the War Machine. That was my nickname. My gimmick name was I wrestled as the War Machine. And needless to say, there was a Cleveland All-Pro show that came up, and Rhino was booked on it, and I waited around the entrance for him, and he came in, and I started talking to him about being called the War Machine, and I said, you know, it really makes us look bad, us independent guys who, you know, work our asses off and work really hard and, you know, come up with a gimmick, and then all of a sudden it's on national television and it's somebody else. And then we go to indie shows and we're being called ripoffs and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I said, can't you get them to call you something else? You know, I'm the War Machine. And he just kind of looked at me and just gave me the fuck off look.
Ooh.
And when you get someone like Rhino giving you that look, not a good thing.
Wow.
And so I really didn't think anything of it and posted this big long blog on MySpace about it, and it made its way around to several hundred people in the Cleveland area. And needless to say, I didn't get booked for quite a while anywhere. Anywhere. Because I said some pretty disparaging things about Cleveland All Pro, too. And I was maybe a month and a half out of training, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, wet behind the ears and green, you know, fit. And I... And I had a bigger mouth then than I do now. You can imagine that.
I'm trying.
I was a lot... I was a lot more flippant and a lot less careful with what I had to say and when I had to, when I wanted to say it. So, I didn't have that tact yet. And, come to find out, you know, I'm Googling one day, and there's about, I don't know, 17 or 18 other guys across the country who call themselves the War Machine. And so, I was like, I'm an effing retard. And I got a whole, I have a buddy who's a ref, his name's Brandon Tolley, and he's worked for TNA, he's worked for Ring of Honor. I think he's working for Ring of Honor right now. But I got a hold of him and he's really good friends with Rhino. He stays with Rhino when he goes to Michigan. I said, can you do me a favor? He says, yeah. I'm like, can you get me in touch with Rhino? And he goes, I can do you one better. He hands the phone off. I hear this. Yeah.
Oh God.
He's standing right next to Rhino. And I said, excuse me. And I'm, and he says, yeah, can I help you? And I said, you remember that real douchebag indie guy who came up to you at the show in Cleveland? And he goes, yeah. I said, I just wanted to say I'm sorry. This is, you know, a few years after the fact. I said, I just kind of wanted to apologize for that.
And
I apologized to him and explained my position and, you know, and all that. And he was cool. So he was, he accepted the apology. I still don't think he likes me. You know, not anything friends. But yeah, yeah. So, this Crimson dude, just let it go.
We're going to let things go, because unfortunately my new life requires me to have my ass up at 5:30 in the morning. So me going into a third hour doesn't really work anymore, at least until I get the schedule fixed. We'll preview next week's show in a moment or two here, but want to thank you all for stopping by tonight and enjoying us here. And if you're joining us through the Justin TV Wild Talk Radio account, yes, we are live each and every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Don't know what time, like 11 a.m. in Australia, I think in Antarctica we're on. Who knows? So. Thank you for joining us. As noted, you're on the Wild Talk Radio account if you're doing Justin TV. So they do have some great programming on here. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern is OTL, which is Otaku Talk Live, with Spug, normally Mace, but of course Mace is, busy, and the Omega. So we have those guys. I heard a rumor Thursday at 9 o'clock that Music Night's coming back. You wouldn't have anything to do with that, would you, Spug?
I would.
All right.
I
preview.
Would.
Give a preview.
You know why I would have something to do with it?
I have no clue, and I'm sure you're going to tell me, man.
Because it's me.
All right.
Yep. Things are about to get down and dirty on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know why? Because we're getting in the pit, Alan.
Oh, look out. Hopefully everybody's insurance is paid up when this happens.
It's time for some Slayer, some Lamb of God, some Coheed and Cambria, you know, Cannibal Corpse. It's time to get a little bit of Hammer Smashed Face, buddy.
We may have to find Jerry Lynn just to have him come on and go and be like, yeah, but I have this, and you have that, and okay.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Saturday night, midnight-ish, the legendary CB Radio, which is the godfather Rob Parks, our producer Sir Rockin', and the Subway, they'll be joining us. No UFC this Saturday. When is the next UFC event? Is it in 2 weeks?
3 weeks? August. August.
Oh, they don't go to August. All right.
August, I believe. It's, you're in July. August 6th. Saturday, August 6th.
Okay, so that'll be the next time you can hear from Tap Outs to Knockouts, which is Spug, Mace, and I'm allowed back because we did not have a draw this past weekend. We had we had that more kind of an ending where everybody was sitting there going, that's how
I
this
still
is
think Uriah Faber won that fight.
Very, very interesting setup. As noted, this Sunday is Destination X live on pay-per-view. After it, you need to join Tim Stein, Sir Rockin, Spug, maybe Will, maybe Omega, maybe me, maybe depending on my work schedule, where you can break down each and every match of the event. You can also get involved in the great debate. You won't be there, will you?
Spug will not be here Sunday.
Ah, Spug got somewhere else to be, which is pretty cool.
Spug got picked up.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Guess who wrestles for the IWA?
That would be the Spug guy. Excellent. Most excellent. So check that out. The Great Debate will continue. The most influential female in wrestling history. This is something that I'm very excited to announce that if you're listening to us through wildtalkradio.com or you're using your iPhone or sorry your Nokia phone or Android phone, WTR has its own app. You can get it from your Android and Nokia phones. Also, you can view it on all phones by logging into wildtalkradio.mobapp.at. Now, the amazing part is it's, oh, what's that word I'm looking for? Free. Which is really cool. Now, if you're joining us tonight and you're going, I really dug Homicide, well, you can go to wildtalkradio.com and download the archive of this show. The next couple weeks, if you're listening to us on Thursday nights from wrwwrestling.net, I believe it's in 2 weeks' time, we're actually going to go live on that site at 9 o'clock. We're also, as noted, we're on ultimatesportstalk.com. You can get downloads at Click Wrestle and also in the iTunes store. So we've had some great guests, and they just keep coming. Because next week, the producer and director, the producer's name is James Subasis, the director's name is Tim Disborough. The feature is called Card Subject to Change. You can find it on sale next Tuesday before we come on the air at 9 o'clock. They will be joining us at 9 o'clock. Now, you're sitting there going, I don't want to listen to director, producer. Fine. Okay, I got one better. I got one of the stars of the film. And that would be the legendary. Yes, I'm using legendary. But he's like, don't use that word. I'm using it. Deal with it. Because when you get someone like Kevin Sullivan not the producer in TNA Wrestling, not the co-author of the WWE Encyclopedia with our friend Brian Shields, but the legendary championship wrestler from Florida. He wrestled in Portland. He wrestled in his own area of Boston. He was a mainstay in WCW. Kevin Sullivan will be joining us. So thanks to Sorokin, Tim Stein, Homicide, Kevin Scott, and his house guest, who I've seen photos of, and Kevin, you're a very lucky man. I hope that works out for you. The Spug Guy. Thanks for stopping by on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Visit our site, owradio.com, and we'll see you next week with Kevin Sullivan and friends. Have a good night.
Wild Talk Radio.com.